not mere words of a song, Lord, that is familiar to us or because it has a good tune. You truly are the waymaker. You're the God who specializes in the impossible. When we get to the end of our rope, you begin your work. You are faithful and true through it all. It's a privilege this morning, Lord God, to experience your presence in this context again, Lord. Here, dit is vir ons 'n voorreg om die samesyn van gelowiges te kan geniet. Ons neem dit nie vanselfsprekend dat ons nog steeds die luksus het en die voorreg om so by mekaar te kan kom sonder vervolging. Omstandighede is vir ons anderste, maar U is die God wat dieselfde bly gister, vandag en tot aan alle ewigheid. Ons sê vir U dankie daarvoor in die naam van Jesus Christus. And all God's people said amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You know, strange things are happening. We're living in very, very different times. In case you're wondering why I don't have a mask or face shield, I'm further than 2.5 meters away from the next person, so I'm okay. I'm compliant. We've had to get used to what we're going through, isn't it? So this morning, this is our first time that we're getting together corporately like this, and I've got my face mask on. And as per habit, because I speak to people, whatever, I like popping a breath mint. So I pop a breath mint and bounce off my mask because I'm not used to having something in front of my power hole. But folks, I want to thank each and every single one of you that made the time to come here this morning and to celebrate with us and to worship like this. And for the folks that are watching at home on our live stream, we want to welcome you as well. Thank you for making the time to click on our Facebook page. We trust that where you are, if your heart is right, God is going to meet you at your place of need. For these folks here, give them a round of applause. And for the folks watching, give them a round of applause to the folks, amen, to the folks in the hall next door. We welcome you. Thank you. As Nikki announced, we just ask and we rely on your ons maak staat op jou eerlikheid. As jy hierdie week hierso saam met ons gefellowship in hierdie gebou, wees asseblief genadig en volgende week gaan besoek bietjie die saal langs aan, and the people that are in the hall next door, please feel free to come and register for this facility over here. A couple of thank yous. We just want to thank God for His faithfulness. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Is daar enige mense wat vir die eerste keer besoek kom aflê vir ons hierso? It's your first time visiting here. Welcome. Let's give them a round of applause. Was daar nog? Normally, ons gee blaadjies uit. We give pamphlets out to explain to you what we're about, but we're not going to do that. We're going to minimize hand contact. But if you really, really want to know, we can give you something. In fact, on the information desk at the back there, on your way out, you'll see a little pamphlet that says Bikers Church on it. Please grab one on your way out. We'll give you details about what we do and why we do what we do and contact details if you have any needs or whatever. We'd love to be in touch with you. Fill in the form there. We don't want your banking details to ask you for money. We just want to make sure that you are taken care of, and we'd like to play a role in that if you do not have a spiritual home. We have lost, or somebody has lost an earring. Here we go. There, sorry. You can use a command. I'll say. Bless you. All right. And a special thank you. You will sanitize it. We said thank you to each and every single one of you that have made the time to be here this morning. A special thank you to the folks that made today possible. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes work and preparation that going to making today possible. To everybody from the arranging of the chairs, the sound engineers that got a camera set up and sound and visual, audio-visual next door, and to make it possible for us to get this out on social media, live stream. Us here, please, let's give each and every single person a warm thank you from the bottom of my heart. We love and appreciate you guys for that. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. All right, without further ado, let's get started. I'm going to make this statement this morning. The extent to which we go to safeguard and keep safe and protect that which is important to us oftentimes determines its value. So the measures we implement to protect something or look after it oftentimes determine its value. I'll give you some practical examples this morning. I've got a box of matches over here. And unless you've been stranded out in the woods for a long time and you do not have a lighter or something like that to start a fire, this might be of value to you. But here in your home, the general environment, we have access to lighters and other means of starting fires. A box of matches is not really that valuable. So ek doen nie veel om dit te beskerm nie. Ek meen hierdie ding lê maar rond in ons huis. Ek gebruik hom net so nou en dan as ek I don't use it because it's next to a lighter. So there's not much value in the box of matches. So I don't really do much to protect it. What I've got here is one pair of two that I've got of. I've got glasses here, okay. Yeah, it's been 10 weeks, folks, I'm out of practice. I've got glasses here, and they're fairly valuable because even with medical aid, daar's 'n aansienlike bedrag wat ek moes bydra om dit te bekom. So I protect it. I look after the lenses, I wrap it up in a nice lint-free cloth, and it's got a hard case that clips closed and stuff like that, and I make sure that it is fairly well taken care of because it has more value to me than the box of matches. Then if we come to things that are a little bit more valuable, we would have had a safe here this morning, but our safes are bolted down. And inside the safes, there are certain other valuables. This is a cash box. So cash to some of us is quite valuable. Personally, I don't like dealing with cash. If I can use a card to buy a Chappy bubblegum, I use it for that. But for some people, you need cash in certain circumstances, and because the cash has value to us, we put it in a hard protective case like this, and it has a lock and a key, and it's got a lanyard attached to it so that I can leave it somewhere and it can be safe, and I take the key with me because it has more value. And so the examples and the illustrations can go on and on and on. The way we look after something often determines the value that that thing has to us. So, having said that, the lockdown for COVID has deprived us of 10 weeks. Wow. 10 weeks of corporate fellowship. During that time of lockdown, what steps did we take to ensure our intimacy with God is safeguarded and kept sacred? Are there things that just suddenly came to a stop in our lives in terms of our Christian habits and our Christian responsibilities and duties? Your walk with God, your daily devotions, your Bible reading, your praying, the time of worship that you may or may not experience here on any given Sunday when we get together, the stuff that was going on inside your heart and in your spirit during the lockdown period, what steps did we take to safeguard those? You see, if we deprive ourselves of some of the privileges that we have, like, for example, regular fellowship. In a discussion with some of the guys outside, I shared with them and DM shared with me, toe ek in die week deurgekom het hiernatoe om die setup uit te check het, te sien die uitlegging van die stoele, my hart het seer geword, because dis vir ons vreemd. It's not so nice when, ek meen, check hoe min is ons hier so vanoggend. And it was like weird for me to feel that. And then not long after that, I got to thinking, Mozzie, what about your persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ in China? The underground church, not only China, other persecuted countries, waar dit onwettig is om so by mekaar te kom. Hulle sal enige iets doen om sulke samesyn te kan beleef. They'll do anything to have the privilege and the luxury of a building that says church. So we have so much to be grateful for still. So if we're deprived of regular fellowship, free access to the Word of God, dis op ons selfone, Nie net fisiese Bybels nie. The freedom to share our faith, knowing that you're not going to get arrested for it. The freedom to ensure our own Christian growth by reading Christian material, listening to other speakers and doing what we can to ensure that we grow. What if we were deprived of all of those things? What would our walk with God look like then? So I've called this morning's message, Safeguard Your Valuables. Jesus teaches us in the Gospels, he says that where your treasure lies, there your heart will be also. So, waar en belee jy die meeste van jou geld, jou tyd, jou fisiese energie, jou gesondheid, jou denke, the focus of your attention? Just if you have to break up your day, a 24-hour period, en dan werk uit vir jouself, how much time you spend on what? What would be most valuable? Ish. I know me, during the lockdown period, I've looked at video clips on YouTube about all stuff that I never dreamed I'd ever be looking at. How engineers work with lathes and milling machines. Ek staar my blind aan daai goed vir ure aan end, as you see these machines shave off little shaves of metal at a time, and at the end, the guy comes out with something beautiful. But the point I'm trying to make is that if I have to look at my life and see, Mozzie, how much time I spend on certain things, and if I have to place importance on the amount of time and focus of my mind that I place on things, I wonder where, in that list of things, where my relationship with God would be. And may I be in your face this morning, aangesien jy 'n masker of 'n shield. Where are you placing most of your time and your priorities? What are you doing to safeguard your walk with God? Will our devotion with the Lord be affected when these things are taken away from us? The scripture says in Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 1 to 3, I'm reading it from the Message paraphrase, and it sounds like this. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. The New King James in verse 3 puts it like this. We have a life hidden with Christ in God. During this lockdown period, what have we done to safeguard our life hidden with Christ in God? I'm talking about the deep recesses of your heart. The devotional things that you do to ensure that you have intimacy with the Father. Because if we let Him, the devil can quickly steal the valuables of our life hidden in Christ. If we let Him. And how does He do that? This morning we're quickly going to look at how He does it. And we look at three, and there are many, just three ways in which the devil can steal the valuable things in our heart and our life of devotion with the Lord. Are you ready, church? So this morning, we're going to look at the fact that how does the devil do this? Does he physically come break in and take your glasses case? Or does he come and physically break into the cash box? Well, sometimes his agents do. The agents of the devil. Sy werker, sy handlangers. I hope I've used the right Afrikaans word also. Maar sy gabbas. They come in and they break and they steal. They do affirmative shopping. And they take what doesn't belong to them. Sometimes it happens like that. Maar as dit kom by hartsake, how does it happen? Exactly like that. Through the heart. Spreuke 4 in vers 23. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says this. Guard your heart above all else. For it determines the course of your life. Folks, that's the Bible's way of saying, so far, sekuriteitsmaatreëls aanbetref, doen alles in jou vermoë om jou hart te beskerm. Want al die ander issues, aangaande die lewe, begin en eindig daarso. Guard your heart, not your cash box, your safe, your scooter, your whatever, your bling bling rings. Those things are lekker and they're nice, okay? But guard your heart above all else. It says, for it determines the course of life. Three ways, in no particular order, in which the devil can get access and steal things that are valuable from us. Number one, this wonderful word called offense. Everybody say offense. Aanstoot. I like it much better in Afrikaans, isn't it? Aanstoot. It sounds more. It klink meer soos 'n aanstoot as offense. Offense is like, yeah, offense, yeah, which side? That side of the fence or this side of the fence? Like I saw this thing about COVID. This guy and lady talking to each other across a fence, and she's standing there with a mask, and she says, I've got this face mask on to protect me from the coronavirus. And the guy's putting up a fence, and he says, yes, and I'm putting this fence up around my house to keep the mosquitoes out. This is not treffend die maskers is, by the way. But anyway, I'm just doing what they say, so here we go. Stay focused here. Offense. The devil steals the valuable things that God has deposited in my heart through offense. Now, a lot has been said about don't take offense, don't take offense, don't take offense. Heck, I've said it in this church. All you need to do to get offended is to keep coming to church. Especially this one, because I'm the pastor. It's not going to be long before I do something that's going to offend you, because I'm a work of grace in progress. Amen. A lot has been said about don't take offense, don't take offense. But you know what the Bible says about this thing called offense? Well, let's just have a look. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 32. It says this, give no offense, neither to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Give no offense. Now, I want to say this as well about offense. Guys and ladies, it is impossible to go through life without ever offending anybody. Jesus didn't get it right. And you know what? He didn't even try. If Jesus had to try and walk and preach and teach in such a way, so let niemand aanstoot neem nie, he would have sat there with his lips zipped. He wouldn't have said anything, because somewhere along the line there would be a Pharisee, a Sadducee, a couldn't see or a wouldn't see that would get offense by something that he said. And all you have to do to offend a Christian is tell them your children are naughty or speak about money. And then they take offense. So I want to encourage you with this. Please don't try and live life afraid of not offending anybody. You're not going to get it right. Okay? Because you can please some of the people all of the time. All of the people some of the time. But you can't please all the people all the time. Dit beteken ook nie dat jy net deur die lewe moet gaan en dat jy so onverskillig is teenoor almal rondom jou dat you're an absolute don't do that. So offense is one of the ways in which the devil steals from us. How does that happen? Somebody, they just do something or don't do something and dan blaas ek my lippe op tot 20 bar. Dan wip ek my and then I want to change churches or whatever. By taking offense. And quickly what starts to happen? There's this something happens in our hearts, and our hearts start to get harder and harder and harder, and it becomes more difficult for us to listen and to sense the voice of God and pick up on what the Spirit of God is saying. Offense is one of the ways in which the devil steals from us. In Matthew 18 and verse 7, Jesus says, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. There Jesus said, offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. So the first way in which the devil steals is through offense. The second way is this thing called joy. Oftentimes in Christian circles, you'll hear people speak about, yeah, yes, you know, the devil has just stolen my joy, eh? And yes, sometimes the devil does. But sometimes, if you're like me, the devil doesn't have to steal it. I just give it to him. He doesn't even have to ask. I go and find him and I say, he's my joy. Vat het maar, because ek het my gewip oor iets. Guys, recently, and I'm sharing my heart here with you this morning. I've got to say, it feels like I'm preaching to people again. I'm enjoying myself up here. Hallelujah. And for those folks watching it live stream, I hope you're enjoying it too and getting something out of it. We trust that you will register next week and make the effort to come fellowship with you. We'll get a chair ready for you. I'll sit on stoelen op die dak 1.5 meter uit mekaar uit gaan daar wees. Hallelujah. But anyway, what was I saying? Yeah. I found myself just giving my joy to the devil like that. I started complaining and murmuring about the inconveniences, about the simple lockdown. I started complaining and I got frustrated with everybody in China. I started thinking about, waarvan moet ek ontslaan raak in my huis van goed wat in China gemaak is? I wanted to get rid of stuff in my house that's made in China because of this virus. Because this virus comes from China. I'm not saying it was manufactured by the hands of man, okay? Let's just not go there. But it comes from China. And I found myself complaining. And before long, I was at a place where I was brumming, man. I was brumming. And what happened? I'd taken the joy that was in my heart, caused by things that money can't buy and things that you can't see, all those things, and I just, he's all devil, faratma. So the other way in which the devil can come and steal that which is valuable to us is when we surrender our joy to the enemy, or we let the devil steal our joy. Why is joy so important? Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, the B part says, "Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Folks, there's so much truth in that. If you need strength to get through the day, the strength to think about the future, the strength to work on your career, to work on a relationship, the strength to fix any kind of problem or challenge that you have, that strength is acquired through joy. And I'm not talking about happiness. Hey, happy, woo, happy, hey. Not that temporary happiness that comes and goes and has never affected. I'm talking about the stuff that, ongeag wat rondom jou gebeur aan die buitenkant, dit raak nie dit wat aan die binnenkant gebeur. Die verganklike goed aan die buitenkant raak nie die onverganklike goed aan die binnenkant en die dieptes van jou gees. That's what I'm talking about. Hold on to that joy. This joy that God brings strengthens you to be able to get through the difficult challenges that we face in daily life. Are we okay this morning, church? The third thing, and there's many, but for the sake of time, we'll just do three, is fear. Fear. Man, we can do a whole series just on fear. Now, to help you remember this, a very, very Afrikaans word is nie, but an acronym is like a word or a phrase or a saying, like a word that actually represents something else. So fear is spelled F-E-A-R. It's an acronym for false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. That's fear. That's fear. We've been told that the words fear not appears 365 times in the Bible, one for each day. Fear not, fear not, fear not. I haven't researched it myself, but there's enough fear nots to convince me, fear not. So it's false evidence that the devil brings across your path, and it appears to be real, and you think, that's it. The only fear that we should have is the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Now, folks, I'm not denying that there is a disease that is killing people. But what gets to me is this, and this is just the practical Mozzie sharing his heart, if that's okay. I'm not denying that there's a disease that's killing people. But we need to put it into perspective. Because the fact is, there is other diseases like TB or whatever that has claimed more lives every month than COVID. But because the news is not speaking about that as much as COVID, there's such an uprising of fear in the world over this thing that ek sê dan net vir jou, en dis maar net 'n opinie, dis alwat dit is. In my opinie, is dit buite perspektief, because of what the media is doing with it. I've been told that last month, South Africa alone, 5,000 deaths from TB. Wie van julle het iets daaromtrent gesien in die nuus? So please don't let the enemy through the media or whoever come and plant seeds of fear in your life. Has this disease killed people? Yes. Sadly, it has. But in perspective, the daily deaths in our country and the world over by other things far, far, far supersede the deaths caused by COVID. And that is a fact. It's not an opinion. So I want to encourage you with this morning. Look at how this thing has changed our lives. How much more so will fear do that? Because die dag gaan kom wanneer dinge gaan terugkeer na normaal, whatever dit vir jou beteken. Waar ons 200 stoele hier ingepak kan kry. En ons mag skouer aan skouer teen mekaar sit en hugs en drukke en whatever. That day is coming. And then, what means of fear will the devil be using then to come and steal the valuables of your heart? False evidence appearing real. Now the word faith is also an acronym. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Isn't that lovely?
Amen.
Forsaking all, I trust Him. Folks, we've done practically the best we can to ensure everybody's safety and health and well-being. We've complied with the legal requirements to the best of our knowledge. But when our best is not good enough, we have to exercise faith to trust God to do the rest.
Amen.
When your best isn't good enough, trust God to do the rest. Jesaja 41 verse 10, Isaiah 41 and 10, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So, this pandemic that the world is facing must be seen from two perspectives. Are you listening carefully? It must be seen from two perspectives. The first perspective is the godly perspective. What does God say about a disease over which mankind has no control? Number two, it must be looked in a factual context perspective. Factual context perspective. Anything you face. So those are the ways in which the enemy can steal the valuables from our heart. Okay? Through offense, through joy, and through fear. All right. So how do we safeguard this? If I'm going to do white water rafting and be exposed to the elements of the weather, I'll take the box of matches and I'll put it in a Ziploc watertight bag and make sure that it is watertight. If I'm going to safeguard the glasses or the cash, these things that I do to protect it and keep it safe. How do I safeguard my heart against offense? Well, number one, quickly, to recap, this is something that I am an expert at. There is nobody that can do this better than me. I can learn absolutely nothing more on the subject. Everything that there is to learn, I already know. And that is the subject of thinking before I speak. Yeah, right. And my wife is at the back saying, Think before you speak is one of the ways of safeguarding your heart against offense. And folks, I battle with that. You know? I battle with that. God has given us two ears and one mouth. Wat beteken dit? Do the maths. That means we must listen twice as hard as what we speak. I battle with that, folks. I'm like, and then I realize, like, what did you just say? Dan sit te laat hoor. Die woorde is al klaar op pad. Teken getref, impak gemaak op mense se harte, mense se lewens. And I do things and I say things. And as my wife will tell you, Moz, it's not what you say, it's the way in which you say it. Yes, I said it in that way. Why? Because I did not think before I spoke. I didn't think before I spoke. So the way in which we can safeguard our heart against offense is just take, when you want to send that angry email, first type it out and pause. Stop. Don't hit send. Go make a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, mow the lawn, ride the bike, do something, I don't know. Then come back and reread that email before you send it. And then when you think it's okay, go and do something else and think about it again. See, there we have the luxury of thinking about something before we send it, isn't it? Maar as ons praat, So, to safeguard your heart against offense, think before you speak. James 1 and verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Number two, how do we safeguard the joy in our hearts? One simple way. Practically, make sure you do enough of what brings you joy. Make sure you do enough of what brings you happy. That which fills your emotional tank, so to speak. Wanneer laas het jy dit gedoen? When was the last time that you done something just net vir die pure genot daarvan? Not because it's spiritual or it's a Christian, just because it is fun. When was the last time you done, not because you have to do it for somebody or whatever, or it's a charitable deed, and that's good and it has its place, but I'm talking about you, the precious, valuable person that you are, yellow lungs on, those watching at home. When was the last time you've done something that is fun for you? Waar jy lekker gelag het, so dat jou maag seer geword het van die lach. When was the last time you done that? That's how you can safeguard the enemy stealing your joy. Make sure you do something that brings you joy. If you don't have a hobby or something that brings you joy, get one. And no, picking your nose is not a hobby. Okay. All right. So make sure that you fill your joy tank. Philippians 4 and verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And number three, fear. How do we safeguard our hearts against fear? Praktisch gesproken, I'm a how-to person. I can hear a message, scriptural references, but I want to know practically how do I do that? How do you safeguard your heart against fear? Number one way to do it is remind yourselves of the times God has delivered you in the past. How he's protected you. Now, like a lot of us here, me included, before I started living for Jesus, I lived a fairly wild life. And once I got born again and saved, I look back and I realize God saved me there. God saved me there. God protected me there. He kept me from harm there. He kept me from etc. And you go back and you look on your life and you remember the times that God has protected you and brought you out of a pickle and a mess. Remind yourselves of the times God has come through for you. And he's a waarmaker van sy woord. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. So remind yourselves of the times God has delivered you. And then 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. We're done this morning. To recap, the things that we do to safeguard that which is valuable to us will give us an indication of how valuable that thing is to us. How valuable is your walk with God, your life hidden with God in Christ Jesus, those precious spiritual things that God has given you? What steps are you taking to safeguard them? The days and the weeks and the months that lay ahead. Your intimate walk with God where perhaps, who knows, what else is going to happen to stop our fellowship with each other? We don't know. Ons neem dit maar net vanzelfsprekend. Ja, ek sien jou volgende week. Okay, shot, cool, cheers, bro. Dis nie 'n garantie nie, julle. Dis nie 'n garantie nie. What are we going to do to safeguard the valuables in our heart? Offense, joy and fear are just three ways. My prayer is for you this morning, wherever you are at. Maybe you, in the category, you say, oh, Moz, I could really do with some joy in my life right now because my company's closed down, we faced retrenchments, my business is busy failing, my business has already failed, or whatever the case may be. I want to encourage you, remind yourself of the things that God has already done for you. Do something that, as we read in Philippians there, to fill your emotional tank again and get that joy back in your life. Make the time to listen to the birds, to smell a flower, or to get up a little bit earlier, dress warmly, go somewhere to catch the sunrise. Something. May God give us wisdom where we are at. Maybe fear of this thing has gripped you and the consequences of this lockdown. Insecurity about the future, health issues, or whatever the case may be. Take that to the Lord. Speak out promises of God into your situation so that you can send the false evidence that appears real running, and you forsake all and learn to trust Him. Thank you for making the time to come this morning. I know there's challenges that lay ahead for all of us, but the good news is that God is already there where we are still going to need to be. He's already there. This thing has not taken Him by surprise. So right there, where you're seated here in this building, in the building next door, and for those watching online at home, I'd like you to take the time to pray with us this morning as we pray for each other, as God gives us wisdom, strategy by the Holy Spirit to learn to safeguard that which is valuable and precious to us. Let's pray together. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to share your word with each other this morning. We thank you for the gift of fellowship. Thank you that we could see and hear each other laugh again and enjoy fellowship like this. And Father, thank you that you give us sound, practical safeguards, for want of a better word, in the word that we can apply to our lives to safeguard that which is valuable to us. Father, we pray for those that are trapped in offense this morning by things they've done or things that have been done to them. Lord, help us to forgive each other as you have forgiven us. Help us, Lord God, to not try and make sense of what has caused the offense, Lord, but if we think of the offense that we would have caused you by our wanton ways, Lord, and as you've forgiven us and shown grace towards us, may we do the same to others, Lord, and would you heal our hearts from offense. Then we pray for those, Lord God, that have not in a long while experienced joy in their lives. Holy Spirit, would you bring joy in the heart of every grieving person this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, if our eyes have been focused on the wrong things or in the wrong place to try and get joy, just readjust and realign our lives and our focus with you and what you have for us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And then for fear, Lord, we want to say to you this morning, devil, in the name of Jesus, God who is inside us is greater than you. We want to say to you, devil, and I encourage you, as you're praying, you can pray this to yourself. You say, devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, God has not given me a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. And I thank you, God, that your faith will rise up in people this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, that fear is replaced with faith. God, you've given us the spirit of power and of love and a spirit of self-discipline. And I thank you, God, that you teach me to fear not, for you will always be with me. You will come through for me and protect me and provide when I need it most. In Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you, folks, for making the time to visit this morning. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Take care. Have an awesome week. Just a reminder, please, next week, should you decide to come and register, you can register next door or here. But if you fellowshiped in this building, give the folks next door a chance to come here. And next week, you go that side and vice versa. For the folks that are in those seats, next week, you can come and fellowship with us here. Not that it really makes much of a difference. Ek weet, baie mense sal verkies om daai kant te sit, because ek kan nie sien wanneer hulle aan die slaap raak nie. And this cool. I'm fine with that. But we love and appreciate you, and it's good to see you all again. God bless you, and have a good week further. For the folks watching online, thank you for making the time. clicking on. God bless you. Have an awesome week. And yes, please remember during the week, bookings will reopen on our Facebook page. Please remember you need to register next week as well. The reason we do that, ons moet rekord hou van die getalle. As jy nie weet nie, ons mag nie meer as 50 by mekaar kom op enige spesifieke plek nie. So that's why we need to register that. Should the registrations increase, we will be having more services. Okay, so we'll go from 9 till 10 and from 10:30 to 11:30. But this week, the registrations were low enough that we could fit enough people in both buildings. So please make sure that you register on our Facebook page, and that way we can ensure proper headcount. God bless you. Have an awesome week. As jy net hier wil sit om die atmosfeer en mekaar se teenwoordigheid te geniet, jy mag maar hoor. God bless you.